B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maz riding today, coming to you from our Star Market broadcast studios at the TD Garden. Bruins Calgary Flames tonight here at the Garden, so that's why we're here. But, Maz, how you doing?
Good. It's a big boy Tuesday.
Well, I was going to say, we're here because the Bruins are here. But when the big fella makes the track down to the Garden, we got to talk football. Greg Bedard joins us here in our TD Garden studio. How you doing, Greg?
What's up, fellas?
Greg, obviously, almost always with some worthwhile analysis on the Boston Sports Journal. And I think that's particularly the case today, so let's get right into it. Big Jim Murray's alongside as well. Hi, James.
Hi, Felger. Hi.
It's a double XL edition of Big Boy Tuesday.
Headline, Boston Sports Journal. Headline, Boston Sports Journal. Bedard's breakdown, colon. As regular season concludes, Tom Brady still not near his MVP level. Looks like someone took a look at the film against the Jets and said what, Greg?
That he was not up to the level that they need him at.
So
still,
his performance was deceiving.
It was. I mean, look, he made a couple of he made some nice plays in that game. I'm not going to take that away from him, but he's still leaving a ton of yards and a ton of plays on the field because he's just not seeing things. And I know I've talked about it throughout this season, but especially comparing him to last year, but going through his whole career, Tom Brady, when you study him, he almost always makes the right decisions in terms of where to go with the ball. I mean, pre-snap, post-snap, he has it all figured out, answers to the test, all that stuff. It hasn't been happening this season. I mean, every game there are four, five, six decisions that you're just like, why did he do that? Why didn't he do this other thing? Where in years past, you could maybe get one, two a game, maybe. It's like you're talking about a dozen during an entire season where Brady is so dialed in. The cerebral part of the game is so good that you're just like, this guy is awesome. That's why you hear defensive coordinators say, he's the best. You know, he's tough to beat. You can't fool him. You can't this. Now it's every game, and now it's you include this game. Now going back to the Rob Gronkowski touchdown against the Dolphins, he just hasn't played that well.
So you're saying basically starting with when he blew the clock at the end of the Miami thing, from that point forward, I mean, you're right here, that now makes it 14 quarters with subpar for him, you know, on his scale. That now makes it 14 quarters with subpar play since we saw Brady's normal elite level in the first 27 minutes at Miami. You say the Patriots offense really scored 24 points against the Jets, as 14 were gifted by the defense with a defensive score and a fumble recovery at the Jets' 9. Patriots had just two drives of more than 60 yards in this game against the Jets. You're saying he's now his run of poor play goes 14 quarters.
Yes. Yeah, in my opinion, and look, take that for what you want. You could cast it aside. I don't care. But I'm just telling you, from studying this team over the years and studying Brady, this is not up to his normal level. It's just not. And like Tom said, I know you guys were off, but I wrote going into that Pittsburgh game about Tom's quote in the offseason, in the summer. This team needs a great quarterback, and hopefully I can be that. He has not been that this season. And they do need him to be that. And I think now more than ever, they need a great Tom Brady if they want to go to a Super Bowl and win one.
So I think everyone would agree with everything you've said up to the point that he wasn't that against the Jets. He had a 133 quarterback rating?
Something like that, yeah.
So, you know, what did you see that was not there to the naked eye? I read your story. I saw your embedded post as well where you went through a lot of the plays, play by play by play. So, you know, I know the answer to the question, but for the people, what did you see on film that wasn't there to the naked eye when you just watched the game?
Yeah, articulated for the public. Right?
Just one example, and I think I have about a half dozen examples where I pull out specific plays and I talk about them and I go through them. But the first play of the second drive, The Jets are in man-to-man coverage. They have single high safety. They run play action. It's almost always – that's their bread and butter bang play action where they go fake real quick. He pivots. There's a slant over the middle. Usually it's Gronkowski.
Or Gronk on the back seam.
Yeah,
right?
That's the backside slant.
Yeah.
It's their bread and butter. Brady doesn't even look at it and throws it contested to Philip Dorsett for like 7 yards where – Edelman had – he's completely wide open in the middle of the field, and he could have run for about 40 yards. There are multiple examples of those types of plays in every game, this game especially, maybe not more than others, but in this game too where you're just like, man, he's just – he's missing a lot of opportunities where he never misses those opportunities.
So the play you just described, the ball went to Dorsett, you said?
Yes.
Okay, so do you think there was any element involved in this game of force-feeding Dorsett and Hogan? In other words, Brady thinking ahead and saying, you know what, if we're going to do any damage in the playoffs, I'm going to need both of these guys. I'm going to try to pump them up here a little.
No, no. I don't. He's never really been that type of guy. I mean, if he runs the offense and you know, however it shakes out, it shakes out. And it just hasn't been that way this year. I mean, I don't know why he would go to – I mean, that pass to Dorsett, you know, there was coverage there. Could have been picked off.
All right, so let me answer you, and I think that you mentioned it in your story. And, Jimmy Stewart, you can release the hounds, by the way, folks. We're opening up, obviously, with football, with Greg Bedard. He's still not impressed with Tom Brady. He says 14 quarters in a row of subpar play for him. He's still not playing at a great level. So your reaction to that, 617-779-0985. And, Jimmy, if you could X out the phones, that would be great. The answer on that play and maybe others, and you allude to it, is – he's still unloading the ball quickly.
Yes.
And he's going to the first read or the first thing that he sees, and that if he held the ball just for a second and, you know, went through his progressions or looked to the other side of the field, there'd be a play there. And that little bang action, as you call it, is one example of it, that he didn't take the time to look backside. He just unloaded it, I think to his right, to Dorsett. I'm thinking the same play. And that sort of commonality. And so what does that tell you? That he's not being patient with the ball to see the field. And I'll just say parenthetically, he did it on occasion in this game.
Yep.
The Dorsett touchdown is obviously an example of that. So he, you know, it's not like he never did it, but he doesn't do it like he used to. Why?
Well, I mean, it's either one or two things. It's either he's hurt or he's old and afraid and doesn't want to sit in there. Or there's one more option. He had been hurt. Maybe he's feeling better, but he's developed bad habits this season where he's used to, like, I don't want to get hit. I'm getting rid of it, and that's just the rhythm that he's in right now.
The byproduct
of
an injury.
So I think it's one of those three things.
Okay, folks, your thoughts on this. Greg Bedard on Tom Brady, still not impressed at all. Okay, that's one reaction. So if you feel that way then, Greg, you have to wonder if the Patriots can win on defense and if the defense has emerged to the point where you can hang your hat on it or win games with it. Do you believe that the team's in that place?
I'll just put it this way. I feel more confident that I know what I'm going to get out of the defense and good, solid play than I do the offense.
Whoa, so you're more confident in the defense than the offense?
I am. They've come this far where I think their third down pressure packages that they came out with out of the bye week for that Jets game and have slowly developed. Those have been highly effective, and I think you couple that with the coverage abilities of Gilmore and Jackson on the outside and also whatever they figure out for that game in the slot. I think they have something to work with, and I think they do have a chance. Like in this Jets game, really the offense scored in the mid-20s. We've been talking about it for weeks. This is a mid-20s defense offense, and the defense is going to have to do its part, including maybe score on occasion. I think that's where we are, and I have pretty decent confidence that I think that the defense can do its job against just about anybody. Now, Kansas City, I don't know. But I feel a lot better about them now going against Kansas City than I did back when they did.
Do you feel that way?
No.
See, I would say I don't feel that way either.
I don't.
Like, I look at the Patriots, and honestly, relative to what I expected coming into the year, the defense is a little better.
It's
a little better than what I expected coming in. And the offense is a little worse, which to me puts it on just about equal footing. Like, I look at the two of them and say, I don't feel great about either one, if you want to know the truth. Like, what are the chances that they both play well in the same game?
Right. I don't feel that's happening.
I mean, I don't feel like it's happened all year.
Yeah.
Really, with the save for a couple of exceptions, maybe the Miami game for crying out loud here, the one up here. But I don't have a high level of confidence on either side of the ball. Like, you know, it looked good statistically in the last couple of games for the defense. But when they get into the postseason, would it surprise you if they gave up 34 points?
So, you know, Greg, taking out the Jets and Bills game, because I just think you should.
Right.
And certainly 10 points, or I'm sorry, was it 13 on the board in Pittsburgh? What was the final score there?
17-10, was it?
Yeah, 17-10.
Okay, nice score there. How about the Miami game down in Miami? That was four games ago. How were they on defense in that game?
They weren't great.
They were wretched.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, look, certain teams are going to give them trouble. I don't recall what the issue. Well, that game was about.
Case.
It was No.
Yeah, I know. You're going there. Go ahead.
No. Well, I mean, that some of it is that. But most of it was just the execution for everybody in that game. And that was my column coming out of that game, was the mistakes that they made. I mean, the execution was just wretched. When they execute, and they do, they execute a lot worse on the road. But when they execute, they're good. I mean, I would say they're average to good, this defense. I mean, they've gone from, in the bye week, they were 15th in scoring to now they're 7th. I mean, and normally I'm not a guy to be like, oh, look at that. But I think that is significant. I think the bye week, they put in a lot of new stuff, including this Amoeba third down package. Because, and we talked about it, why did they need to do that? Because I think they know they need to help the offense out. You know, they just can't hold serve. They need to get the ball. They need to get some turnovers. And I think since then, they've done their part. And, you know, are they a wrecking crew? No. You know, but I do think that they're going to do their job.
Okay, folks, let's talk some football with Greg Bedard and you. You're already loaded up. We'll get right to the phones after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Second and goal from the 16. Snap to Brady. Stands in. Pressured. Throws a high lob to the near side. It's up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Hayden. If he came down in bounds, he leaps over two Patriots, and he lands inside the four. And a turnover for the Steelers to celebrate, posing for a picture in the end zone. And meanwhile, Julian Edelman rises limping away from the play for the Patriots. Brady was pressured. He tossed it high in
Edelman's
the air.
Edelman's down. Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
So that's going back to that Pittsburgh Steelers interception. Worst throw in 10 years to Scott Zolak. A lot of people may make it sort of that sort of the low point, that nadir, maybe the game or that game or that throw is the low point. But Greg Bedard believes it has gotten much better. That Brady hasn't, still not playing at a high level, even after putting 38 points on the board, or 35 points on the board against the Jets. So that's our leadoff take there. He does sort of believe in the defense, though. Talking football with Bedard and you, 617-779-0985. Joe in Pepperell, let's lead it off with you. What do you got for us today?
Hey, love the show. I don't agree with Brady having a subpar year. And the reason I can say that is because look at what they surrounded him with. They let a lot of people out the door, and he's been doing great with what he has. Take these group of guys, drop them in with the Saints with Drew Brees. Let me see if he's going to come out 11-5. I don't think so. I really don't. And to go back to feeding Dorsett and Hogan on this last game, that was the smartest thing the Patriots could have done. I think going forward in the playoffs, you got to get these guys involved. I agree with you 100%.
Is Brady understaffed? Thanks for the call, Joe. Is Brady understaffed?
I know you won't agree with it, but to a certain extent, but there's still enough there.
I mean, so that's what that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's down maybe from last year because Gronkowski's down. Edelman missed a month, like for all the things that we know. So, yeah, it's down a little bit. He still has more to do better than he's done. That's all I'm saying.
I agree with that. I mean, the issues that I've had with Brady this season aren't about, like, you know, him having to hold the ball and getting sacked because guys aren't getting open. It's him getting back to his drop and just not making the right read or getting rid of it early and not wanting to get hit. I mean, those are my issues. So I don't really think they transfer from, you know, personnel to personnel. I think they're just inherent to him.
And also, when you look at the film, there are guys open.
Yes.
So, I mean, you may not think much of Hogan. You may not think much of his support Romney cast. But if you watch, according to Greg, those guys are getting open. That's all that matters.
Yeah, the quarterback hasn't played well. I mean, again, so how much is...
Well, see, I don't totally agree with that. He hasn't played up to his standards.
Well, so that's what I mean.
So, yeah, he's been good. You know, mm-hmm. small g, good. He's been fine.
But the standard that we hold him to, he hasn't played to that level.
And that I think that they need.
The only they definitely need
he
more
said
this
it.
Year.
He said it. This team needs a great quarterback. Has he been great this season?
No, not great.
I mean, the only time I've seen him this year where I went, whoa, there we go, was the first half of the Miami game. Where the ball was coming out of there differently. There was more zip on it. He was decisive, on the money, all of it. It was the first half at Miami. That's it.
Mike and Peabody. Go ahead, Michael.
I was on hold last night, but Scott and whatever his name is from Weymouth wouldn't stop talking. It's unbelievable. anyways, so, Felger, I think you got a sneaky little axe to grind with Tom Brady. And I want to pose this question to you because you don't believe in the Patriots and doing anything this postseason. Would you feel any differently about this team in the playoffs if they had Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback? We'll take your question off the air. Thanks, bud.
Would I feel any differently if they had Garoppolo? Nah, I mean, probably not. I mean, I don't know.
You, Miz?
No, probably not, no.
I mean, what if Jimmy Garoppolo was their starting quarterback this year and he stayed healthy, what would their record be?
Probably 11-5.
10-6.
12-4.
Yeah. I mean, I'd give him 12-4. Good job, guys. Good job. I was going to say 10-6. I mean, what was there a game where Brady was the difference? You know, Kansas City. Okay, does Jimmy Garoppolo go toe-to-toe with Mahomes? Or they went 40-38 that night, whatever it was? I'll give you Kansas City. Other than that, what was the game where the quarterback made the difference?
I don't know that there was one.
And I'm going to tell you Garoppolo's as good as Brady. I'm just saying how many games were there this year where it was his singular performance that meant the game? Kansas City, I'll give you. I mean, just think of it. What I do think, I mean, I would have liked Garoppolo here, not under his contract or the franchise tag, but if he were here to keep pushing Brady, where Brady would have given me the full 24/7 commitment that I've known him for, the complete, you know, insane commitment to football and the off season and all of it, I think we would have gotten a better Tom Brady. I've said that from day one, so I think that's a factor.
I just think that, look, when I say he didn't play well this year, relative to the rest of the league, he was kind of in the middle. Like, how many guys had better years than Brady did? I mean, I think a lot. It's the other thing that we're overlooking in this is that it's easier to throw the ball in the league than it has ever been before.
I know he's took a step back relative to the pack.
So to me, that's what I say. You know, man, I wouldn't have shocked me in the least bit. He ended up getting picked for the Pro Bowl, right? Not that I care.
Yes, he got it over Luck as the third spot in AFC.
He shouldn't have gotten it. He doesn't deserve to be at the Pro Bowl this year. Isn't that kind of year?
Mahomes, Rivers, is that it? Mahomes, Rivers, Brady.
Brady, and so it was probably between him and Luck for the third spot.
Mahomes, Rivers, Luck. Who else would you put in the AFC? Is there anyone else you'd put on top of Brady?
No, that might be it.
Deshaun Watson.
Well, so he's close. That's a good one. I totally forgot about Watson.
The argument is Luck or Brady, whichever one you want.
And I mean, so, you know, if you include Watson, let's just say for the sake, now he's fifth. I mean, you know, now you're creeping into the 6, 7, 8 area, right? Like, and I know, I just pushed him all the way back.
We're going to do some ranking coming up in a little bit. Maybe that's a little teaser for you right there. Let's grab Anthony on Cape Cod. Hi, Anthony.
Yeah, happy effing New Year from the Felger and Mag show where everything sucks. I mean, that was ridiculous yesterday. I mean, the wood just shut you out over the holiday or what? So the Patriots win the division. They have a first-round bye, and they're fully healthy, and they haven't played their best football, and you think it's just such a bad situation? I mean, look, Tom Brady, Maz and Murray have definitely been late to work, but that's what I kind of look at. Brady was late to work this year. It's never been right. You've had that feeling where it's just kind of a weird, and we haven't seen that before. And when did he sign up for the Big Brother program with Josh Gordon? I mean, seriously, it felt like he got that responsibility of, like, mentoring Josh Gordon. And I just feel like it's great to have the regular season behind us, and this team's fully healthy, ready to go, and start getting positive and stop being so negative. Thanks.
Oh, please. We're going to be what we want to be, but thank you for the call. And it's not positive or negative. I just don't believe in them. I mean, that sounds negative. It's a negative take, but it's not because I'm being negative. I'm just assessing what I've seen. I don't think it's their year. I agree with the whole assessment of it's like Brady showed up late to work and it never got on the right page. I think that's a great way to put it. That's what I agree with 100%. Now, his thing, they haven't played their best football. And now the regular season's behind him. They're going to flip a switch and be a different team in the postseason. That's possible, Greg.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Except they've never really been that team in the past. I made this point yesterday. They've never been that get hot, go on a roll postseason team. In the years they've established it in the regular season, they've carried it over to the postseason. But they've never been like that sixth seed wild card team to catch fire and play differently in the postseason. So if they do it this year, it'll really be the first time.
He made a good point that sometimes we forget about in terms of how good is this team. This team has been relatively healthy. And they still haven't put together, very rarely 60 full minutes.
That's true. Injuries have not been a big
story. No, what starter has gone down? Like, you could maybe make the argument that Juwan Bentley.
Or that Gronkowski's been hobbled. That's fair, right?
Right. But they haven't lost. Like, last year they lost, Edelman and Hightower. In the middle of the season, they went to the Super Bowl and had the ball with 2 minutes left to win the Super Bowl. This year, they haven't lost anybody.
And they lost to the Lions.
Among others.
Calls like the last guy are the ones that piss me off, like with all due respect. Because I sit here and say, they're fully healthy, everything's good, let's go. So we're just supposed to ignore everything we know. We're just supposed to ignore everything that took place over the first 17 weeks of the season.
I mean, I think it's okay to say that they can flip a switch and be a different, better team. I mean, that's a guess, but they've never really done that in the past. And you know what? Frankly, no one has. It's sort of evolved. We're in a run here where it's all 1 and 2 seeds with the byes. And
5 straight number one seeds have won the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
5 in a row.
Okay.
So I just look at it with the Patriots and I say, I'm sorry. This I can only judge them on what they've shown me. I treat every year as its own thing. Like comparing them to the 0-1 Patriots or the 0-4 Patriots, like that guy yesterday, means nothing to me. Zero. I take them in the context of what the league is now, what they look like, and how they do. And I look at this team and say, do we really think they've distinguished themselves in any way, capacity, shape, form, as relative to other teams in the league? Because I don't. I just don't see anything special about them.
Anthony in Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I disagree with Bedard for one about it. He has more confidence in the defense than the offense. I mean, Brady is
what I'm going to get.
Yeah, I know, but he is 41, and he is hurt. At the end of the year, they're going to find out he's hurt. And, I mean, you look into the weapons. I mean, why do you think they got Josh Gordon, Mike? I mean, because Edelman was coming off injury. He ain't the same, and Gronk ain't the same. That's why they had to get Josh Gordon. He doesn't have many.
I don't think they had to get Josh Gordon. I thought he was a mistake. Anthony, thank you for the call. I'm just going to cut you off there. I didn't think they needed Josh Gordon. I didn't want Josh Gordon. So, I disagree with them on that. I think they'd be in better shape if, instead of going out and getting Josh Gordon and wasting all that time and energy on the field and off, my God, if they just worked Philip Dorsett in there and started throwing him the ball and made sure that Brady didn't shut out Chris Hogan, they'd be in better shape right now if they hadn't wasted all that time on Josh freaking Gordon for 2 months. So, I don't agree with that. Do you think Brady's hurt? Anthony says you'll find out at the end of the year he's hurt. Is he... Yeah,
I do think. I think he's been dealing with something. I don't know when it happened, but between it's either an MCL sprain or some sort of meniscus thing, and it's an injury that sort of comes and goes depending on the week and how he's hit and stuff like that. But I think that's where his bad habits started, and now that he's getting maybe a little bit more healthy, he can't shake them.
I mean, I absolutely think something's going on there. I don't think there's any question the way he spins out of throws. Like, there's a lot of things you can say about Brady. Afraid is not one of them. So he has looked afraid at times this year, and to me, there's something there he's protecting.
I mean, the Bills game was ridiculous. I mean, the way he didn't want to take any contact. And then the Steelers game, the end of the game, and I know we didn't talk about that game, but every one of those throws at the end of the game, he didn't give anybody a chance to catch the ball. I mean, he Gronkowski twice is one-on-one with a midget secondary guy.
Little person.
And he sails it into the stands.
Undersized.
Like, just throw it within his body frame. We hear all about his, he's got this catch radius. And blow. Well, Give him a chance. And then the fourth down play, he didn't even – and there was also – oh, in the Bills game, and we talked about it last week with Murray, that was the first time I've seen Brady flat out quit on a play where they had a screen pass set up to James Devlin, and it was set up where Brady just had to wait a half second while Devlin got rid of the rusher, and it was there. There was one guy, one defender out in the open field, and there were two offensive linemen headed out for blocks. The play could have gone for 60 yards. Brady just threw it into the turf, gave up on the play.
I remember that play.
And you think it's because he's just protecting himself and, you know,
yes.
He doesn't want to get hit.
Yes.
So, I mean, hopefully that's it. Hopefully he's not gotten gun-shy in his old age or that the wife's in his ear, you know, and no more concussions and, like, just all this. He's, you know, he's making, quote-unquote, business decisions. You know, let's hope that's not it. Let's hope he's actually really, not that you're wishing injury on the guy, but at least that would explain it. If it's the other thing, then you're in deep trouble. We continue with your thoughts. Why are you smirking, Maz?
I thought Murray was going to jump in there and do his Giselle right there. Tom!
No, I don't have it. Sorry.
We're going to do three up, three down with Bedard. We're going to do season-long edition. The three studs for the Patriots this year.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Three duds all season-long. Season-ending award winners. The best and the worst of the Patriots coming up right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub. It's time for three up.
He throws it left for Glock. He makes the catch over two defenders.
And three down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Launch downfield. Throw into the end zone. With Smith there. Rolls well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
Three down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Maz.
All right, here we go. Season-ending edition. Three up, three down. We'll do it for the whole season. Season-ending awards. All right? And Bedard, you may have noticed Thursday. Usually Bedard's on Tuesday, but we were in South Bend, so the big boy didn't want to follow us out there.
I would have.
So, we're doing Greg today, Thursday, here from the TD Garden. We're doing three up, three down, not off of the Jets game. Who cares about that? Season-long edition. So, these are the three studs, three duds. Normally when we do this, Greg just reminded me. We've said excluding Tom Brady on the three up because, you know, for obvious reasons, it's given. This year, Tom Brady is included. So you can include Tom Brady in your three up if he's three up or obviously three down. But Brady included this year, you're three up for the Patriots, number one star. And I'm going to play this time because season ending, I think, I just want to. So go ahead, Greg, who's your number one star?
Trey Flowers. He's the best down-to-down player on this football team. I mean, it's close between him and number two. For me, it's Stephon Gilmore's number two, but that's only because...
Let's get to number two when we to number two.
But Trey Flowers is just a little bit more consistent.
James White, for me, was number one. James White, for the simple fact that there was no more consistently reliable player on the offense than him this year. Name one other guy in the offense who was consistent. I know they went away from White for a little while.
Second half, where was he?
Okay, but again, anytime they asked him to do something, he did it. And he was available for all 16 games. I think that what they did was back off him just from a workload perspective. That's what I think it was. But I think White might have been the most valuable player on the team.
First half MVP. Lost it.
Exactly. What happened? And now if it's intentional, they didn't want to overwork him, great. Otherwise, it's sort of weird. What happened to him in the second half? No, he's not number one. Number one easily is Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers, Greg's right, is the number one star in the Patriots this season. I don't even think it's close between number two, and your number two again is?
Stephon Gilmore.
Just clarify, that's an opinion, not a fact.
Of course that's an opinion, yes.
Stephon Gilmore. I was thinking about this the other day. To think of where he's come from that Carolina game last year, where he was just an outright disaster, to now He's arguably the best cornerback in the league, and I know we've sort of talked about that, but I think the last month of the season has solidified he's at least in that conversation, if not the best in the league. He's been that good.
Trey Flowers was number two to me. He was awesome. And again, when you said it was close between one and two, I thought you were going to say Flowers and White. I mean, to me, so, but Flowers, absolutely. He's a force. Okay. He is a freaking force.
I would like to now submit a special category here in Three Up, Three Down, since I'm participating. Most overrated Patriot, Stephon Gilmore.
Okay. He didn't make my top three.
He didn't make my top three. He had a good year. I'm not telling you he sucks. You know, overrated doesn't mean suck. But, you know, the Pro Football Focus rankings at, you know, various times, he was the number one corner or the number two or three corner in the league. I saw plenty of games, where the opponent was not afraid of Stephon Gilmore. Tennessee, most notably, right at Stephon Gilmore all game long. He had some good games and made some good plays, and he had a good year. He was good. But he wasn't the shutdown thing. I think when defenses lined up or offenses lined up and Stephon Gilmore was where the ball should go, they went there. They didn't stay away from Stephon Gilmore, I don't think. I mean, maybe there's stats on how much he was throwing.
You're
on.
Not wrong, but I seem to think that he's a bright lights player. I think he flips the switch a little bit sometimes and gets caught where games where he's not really dialed in and he gets burned a little bit. But when the games are biggest and the lights are on, he's there.
Okay, so anyway, Stephon Gilmore was not in my top three. My second star was Trent Brown, was the left tackle. I think he was consistent. Now, Greg would know more than I would because I don't break down the offensive line play.
He's sliding towards the end of the season.
He's been bad lately.
All right, go ahead. But, you know what? You tell me.
Yeah, but he's been, and it's the pass blocking has largely been okay throughout the season, and he's given up half the pressures that Nate Solder did a year ago. So, you know, kudos to the Patriots for making this swap and saving all that money. But his run blocking, bending the knees, getting to the second level, it's just fallen off a cliff here in the last month.
Like I said, I didn't assess
the knees.
I didn't assess the knee bent. I just think he's been pretty good over there.
That guy can't even see his knees.
Okay, third star. We're behind. Quickly, third star.
I split it between two fat guys, Shaq Mason and Lawrence Guy. I couldn't leave Lawrence Guy.
Yeah, he loves Lawrence Guy. That is.
Hey, Bill said it the other day. He's one of our.
Van Noy went third. I think Van Noy is. I think he had more snaps than any guy on the defense. Over 90% of the snaps was there every game. I thought he was good.
No, he
deserves. Very reliable player.
So I'll give Van Noy honorable mention. My third was James White because, again, I think the first half was just so dominant. I do wonder what happened to him in the second half of the year, but he was so good in the first half that if you balance it out, net, he's my third star. Three down. Who's the number one dud on the Patriots, Greg?
Dwayne Allen. And I just want to stop. I want to stop this. Fantasy that's out there that Dwayne look, and I love Dwayne Allen when he was with the Colts.
No, yeah, I can see it.
I loved him. But for people to continue to say, well, he's a good blocker. No, he's not. He's not good at anything. If there's, what, two-year tenure here? It's over. Like, he didn't do anything. It was a waste of money. It was a waste of whatever they gave up for him. He doesn't do anything.
Jimmy Stewart back in Brighton. Can you tell me why Dwayne Allen might have gotten all that money?
Hush money.
Thank you. Number one dud for you, Tony Maserati.
Okay, so I just need to say up front that the Dwayne Allens and Malcolm Browns of the world are shooting fish in a barrel. So I look at people who like really let you down.
Well, why can't Malcolm Brown be?
He can be. Okay. He's a bum. He really is. I mean, I seriously considered him, but I have to go after bigger fish than that. Seriously, Gronk. Gronk was the most disappointing player on the team. Injuries, attitude, whatever. Whatever it was, the biggest change in the Patriots this year, if you ask me singularly, the biggest singular change was Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, my number one dud was Malcolm Brown. Number one overall, I mean, not number one overall pick, first round pick.
He's brutal.
Coming into a contract year, I mean, I thought you could expect nice things from him in the middle of your defense playing for some money. What a zero that guy was. Okay, second dud, Greg.
Split between Danny Shelton and Malcolm Brown. That whole position was a black hole this year.
Oh, they were brutal, weren't they, on the inside?
And if they go down in the playoffs with the Ravens running for 280 yards against them, it's because of those two guys.
Like I said, Greg, I prefer to carry the big frying pan. Edelman. Edelman's another one. Dropping passes. He's not the same guy.
Oh, come on,
even when he came back. No, the fact of the matter is that the biggest difference between the Patriots is that of last year and this year, because their best players didn't play great.
The big three took a step back.
Their best players didn't play great. Edelman, number two.
But that didn't mean they're the worst on the team. My second down was split between Shelton and Adrian Claiborne. Like, again,
ooh, Claiborne, yeah, good one.
Like,
good
nothings.
One. I forgot about
just,
him.
Just because he doesn't play anymore. Nothing. So you forget about Adrian. Oh, yeah, Adrian Claiborne. Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be the answer to the pass rush.
You like Peter King, like to split the positive ones. I'm going to get as many negative ones as I can. Shelton and Claiborne split my second dud. Who's your third?
Jacob Hollister. If I ever hear that guy's name again in training camp, I'm going to go slap the reporter who brings him up about how he's going to have a great year. And all. Can he stay on the field?
Please.
Please. Once, maybe.
Do it.
Tom
do it.
Brady.
There it is, man.
Tom
do
Brady.
It.
I'm sorry. I can't let this go. Again,
no.
I didn't notice. No, but I mean the idea of your best players versus the people. To me, it's about expectations. So Malcolm Brown, a lot of these guys disappointed. Really, though? Like, who else are we going to dump on? Are we going to pick Jonathan Jones, too, because he sucks? Like, you know, to me, there's a Hightower would have been a good one, too. Major disappointment this year. But Brady. Brady slipped. Gronk slipped. Edelman slipped. All three of them. That's why they are who they are now.
And Hightower. So that's their big four. They all slipped.
So
and McCourty on top of it, if you want to throw him in there.
So Gronkowski was my third. My honorable mention was Hogan. Should I blame him that Brady shut him out or
no.
What? Like, how do I mean, I just look at his production, Greg, and go, that's, you know, if he had to fill in for Amendola, that was a step back. But that's, you don't think that's on him necessarily?
I don't. I think there's something weird going on there that he, not to be thrown to in the amount of snaps that he's played this year.
No, it's weird.
There's some, yeah, I don't know.
Danny Shelton and Adrian Claiborne. What busts,
right?
See, remember at the beginning of the year,
I thought those were great pickups by the Patriots, and I thought it was really going to help them, and just swinging a whiff.
Complete zeros. Like, zero. Wow.
Okay, healthy scratches.
We continue with your thoughts. Again, I think the lead sentiment today, the lead take, is Greg Bedard's thought that Tom Brady has now put together 14 straight bad quarters. You heard that correctly. Greg went back.
I wouldn't say he was.
Well, I mean, hold on. Wait a minute.
Subpar, I think.
That's what you said.
Yeah,
that's
him.
Okay, you put that in the processor bag.
Yeah, I don't want to hear your processor.
No, fine. No, fine. I'm nothing if not fair. Greg wrote on Boston Sports Journal, overall, after rewatching the Jets game, I did not think Brady played well in this game. That makes it now 14 quarters with subpar for him qualifier, which makes now 14 quarters with subpar for him play since we saw Brady's normal level in the first half at Miami. Your reaction to that? In fact, let's play a little game because we did this some time ago. I asked Maz and these guys to rank the current NFL quarterbacks. I think we did this, I don't know, midway through the year. I can't remember when we did it.
It's about 6 weeks ago. Power rankings.
Okay.
November 27th is the date I have.
Thank you.
6 weeks.
Right around Thanksgiving time, we ranked the NFL quarterbacks. And, Maz had an interesting list. We're going to reset it. We're going to have you rank the playoff quarterbacks. We'll do that right after this, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Give me your current NFL quarterback power rankings. Meaning, right now, not who's had the best career or necessarily who's had the best season. Tonight, name your top NFL quarterbacks.
I'm going to start at the top.
Good.
Breeze, Mahomes, Rivers, Luck, Wilson, Brady.
Brady 6.
Way too high.
Whoa.
Oh, come on, Maz.
Hold on. You said power rankings. Right now, Breeze, Mahomes, Luck, Wilson, Rivers, Goff, Watson, Mayfield, Newton, Rodgers.
Newton.
Rodgers?
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the games that have... Every f***ing game that's on national TV, have you watched it?
He's better than Brady.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
No, he hasn't.
Let me ask you a question. Where does Brady rank in passer rating in the last 6 weeks?
Last 6 weeks, I don't know.
19th! 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 weeks. Six. One per week. That's Mariota-esque. That sucks. He hasn't been good for a while.
Putting Cam Newton ahead of him.
Average.
If you're saying Brady's seven, okay. He should be no lower than seven. But any lower than that, Cam Newton?
What's wrong with Cam Newton?
Cam Newton's been terrible for like four straight weeks.
I'll take Cam Newton.
Oh, please. I'm still putting Brady ahead of Goff right now and even Deshaun Watson.
You guys are delusional. He hasn't been in the top 10.
I'm not a stats humper.
You people are on crack.
So that's how it went back on November 27th.
I call him like I see him. What can I tell you?
The voice effects only really just add a one measure of stupidity. If you just played that in normal voices, it would be still just as stupid.
I mean, some of the names you had ahead of him. My God.
Well, that's not just that. It's just
the
us.
Defiance.
It's just us. It's too. Just us. It's tremendous. So I'm sorry. Where did you? Was that 12th? Where did
I think you? I think I had him 11th or 12th. Yeah,
11th or 12th in the league. All right. So let's do this.
Ish.
Now. Let's do this now. Greg's not a buyer on Brady right now. He thinks he's had a subpar for him year. Even the last couple of games. Nope. He's still not seeing it. So of the 12 playoff quarterbacks, where does he rank? Rank your 12 playoff quarterbacks in order, please, Greg Bedard.
Mahomes, Breeze, Rivers, Luck, Wilson. That's my top five, and then Brady.
So Brady's six.
He's still six.
Still me. Six.
Okay, so
here we go.
No, you had top five, right? You said what?
Give me your list until you get to Brady.
Breeze, Luck, Mahomes, Wilson, Brady. I got him fifth. Yeah, I got him fifth.
I'm sorry. Say it again. Breeze?
Breeze, Luck, Mahomes, Wilson, Brady.
So you still have Brady ahead of Phillip Rivers?
I do. I've never been a Rivers guy. I don't like the way he throws. I think his arm's weaker now. Like, honestly, I wonder sometimes how he does it. So I'm not a huge Rivers guy. Never have been. But the other one, Brady would be lower. Let me just say this. But look at some of the bums that made the postseason. Trubisky? Like, going to put Trubisky ahead of Brady? And Goff's game has slipped here badly in the last, you know, four, five, 6 weeks. Goff has slipped a lot. So Watson's close. Watson's right there with Brady. He's right there.
You think Watson is right there with
Brady?
He's
close on this list. He's probably one spot behind him.
Wait, so let me get this straight.
You'd rather have Watson than Rivers?
So Rivers, they're all right there.
But that's crazy.
I don't know.
Rivers has won a playoff game or playoff games. Like, you had that history has to come into account here.
Watson to me is a little bit of a dangerous guy because of the running factor. I'd take Deshaun Watson right now. I absolutely would.
I got Mahomes, Breeze, Luck, then Brady, and Rivers after Brady.
Mahomes? So you have Luck too?
Yeah.
So you all have Luck ahead of Brady?
I think Luck right now is on top of his game.
Luck's been ridiculous.
Wow.
He looks dynamite. Yeah. I thought in that Tennessee game, that first touchdown he threw, I went, holy crap. Rolling out to his left, he looks like he's moving right. There's zip on the ball again. He is back, man. He is absolutely back.
So do I have Brady lowest out of everybody?
Yes,
now?
I think you do.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so, Maz, let me get this straight.
Let's make a bet about you, big boy.
So November 27th, when we last did this, you had Brady 12th.
Yeah.
They have gone 2-3 since, and he is now fifth.
Well, we've eliminated the non-playoff teams.
Yeah, it's all about the field. I had him 12 out of 30, and 5 out of 12.
I said rank the playoff quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. Man, we should have done it the same way.
So would you still have Cam Newton ahead of him?
No.
Okay, good. Thank you. Progress.
That's big of you,
man. We do have progress.
Mayfield?
I mean,
Mayfield. If Mayfield were in the playoffs, I'd think about Mayfield right now.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Do you have Brady back ahead of Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers sucked this year.
Yeah.
Oh, God. To me, the one I just think you're all sort of sleeping on Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Like
six picks in his last three games, though. He's kind of been on a downward slide in these last three games.
Does that include the Kansas City win? So that was beyond the. It was before the last three games. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I have no belief or faith in the San Diego LA Chargers. Like, I still think of them as soft West Coast Sunshine State kind of team that's going to come out east and get, like, but Phillip Rivers himself, like, I almost look at him like every dog has his day, he's due. Like, he could be a David Price kind of guy for me, that he's going to have his breakthrough and he's going to win one eventually, because I do think he's been one of the better quarterbacks. I do think he's a tough guy. Is he clutch? He feels clutch to me. Is he? Like, I don't know if the stats would back that up. But I always sort of view him as a gamer.
I don't think he's afraid.
And a tough guy and not afraid. And, Like, I think that guy's due.
See, I've always thought he was a little overrated, but in the context of 2018, that Baltimore game let a lot of the air out of the balloon, man. They scored 10 points. They beat the Chiefs. They go home. It's in their hands. Here you go. They scored 10 points at home against the Ravens.
Yeah.
10. So, like,
it's also the best defense in the league. But, I mean, as far as Rivers, he has a tendency, even though he makes some brilliant plays down the stretch, like, I forget that game where he
threw the Kansas City down, game.
Yeah,
oh,
fourth
God.
Down pass. But he has a tendency to make just dumb mistakes at the end of really big games. And so he's going to have to overcome that. Okay. I don't have a lot of confidence in that.
So, the headline, you know, in summation, Tom Brady barely a top five playoff quarterback right now, even according to the big boy Greg Bedard. If you want to take out the Felger and Maz negativity, staying out of it, you know, you want to just take us out of it. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, has Brady sixth in the 12 NFL playoff quarterbacks.
Right? He's on the bubble. Brady's on the bubble.
How do you feel about that? To your calls, I promise. After Murray's 90-second update, there's no commercials. I'm also going to give you something for free. I also have a giveaway for you coming up, so you definitely do not want to leave your radio. Here you go.
This is Felger and Maz.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.